Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program, Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Our object these days is to go through the Bible. We've started at Genesis late last year, and we've gotten through to the book of Numbers, which we're about to finish up today. Of course, the object of this program is to get people to cross the border into His kingdom, at the same time to preach the Word of God, and that is by going through the Word of God. So many people don't understand. They listen to a few minutes of this program and check out right away. They say, what good is that? Most people don't have patience for the Word of God, and most people don't want to go any deeper into the Word of God than they have been taught by the corporate ministries and the corporate church preachers out there, who only go so deep. As Yahushua observed, he said, they lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. And he was talking about the pastors and the teachers of his day. Well, 2,000 years have passed, and nothing has changed. That's the way it's been, and that's the way it is. The pastors and teachers are still leading people up because they have the Word of God, so they can lead you up to the kingdom. But they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. They leave you with the promise that if you pay your tithe, of course, that's the only important commandment that didn't get nailed to the cross, and perhaps you don't sleep with their wife, commit adultery. And then they have a whole lot of pharisaical rules and regulations that you need to live by, and many of them have nothing to do with the law of God. Then you get to go to heaven when you die. They've reduced the Word of God and the promise of God to a ritual, to magic, to a spell. Say the magic words. Cast the magic spell. You know, as in spelling, you spell words, it's a spell because you say it. You say the magic words. And they've reduced it to a type of witchcraft, basically. You say the magic words, and then, because the law has been nailed to cross, you know, that's all you have to do. And now your salvation is sure. Don't let anyone question your salvation, because once saved, always saved. And if you said the magic words, now you're saved forever, and nobody can snatch you out of his hand. Nobody can take your salvation away. That he will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, that sounds familiar, don't it? That's all the once saved, always saved doctrine. They built on some fairly good verses, but those verses are taken out of context. And while he will never leave you or forsake you, he also, and we discussed this in the last hour, he also does not use force in his kingdom. In the kingdom of God, there is no force. While he may never leave you or forsake you, it does not mean that you may never leave him or forsake him. And if you forsake him and his law, then you are out of his kingdom, because he doesn't hold you by force. And when you proclaim that his law is nailed to the cross, so now you can obey the laws of men over his law, as a matter of fact, you can break his law to keep their law, then you're saying, well, I'm out of the kingdom of God, and I've now entered this mortal kingdom of men, this ungodly antichrist kingdom. And why do I say that they're ungodly and antichrist? There's a lot of statists out there. They love the U.S. government, and they love the state of California. And when you have more than half of the people that are employed by the state, they have their position and their sustenance by the state, well, then they love the state, of course. And it's not surprising that more than half of the people, as that's been demonstrated by what we've read throughout the scriptures so far, that even in the mortal kingdom of God, Israel, that more than half of the people, that the majority always went astray. So should we be surprised that the majority would give their allegiance to an idol rather than to the kingdom of God in the world today? But he does not use force, and that's the point. He does not use force to keep anyone in his kingdom. And the once saved, always saved doctrine proclaims that he will never leave you or forsake you. And I believe that, that he'll never leave me or forsake me, but also he does not force me to stay with him, to live in his kingdom. He does not force me to live a life of repentance. If I leave or forsake him, that's a different story, isn't it? Do I get to go to heaven when I die if I leave him or forsake him? No, if I leave his kingdom and I align myself or allege myself to another kingdom, to an antichrist kingdom of this world, then I've left him. I've forsaken him. He did not leave or forsake me. Once saved, always saved. It's a comforting doctrine. It's just what, you know, the enemy would want you to believe. That his law was nailed to the cross. He will never leave you or forsake you, but you don't have to live according to his law because the law is dead. We're under grace. We're not under the law. As if grace and the law were diametrically opposed to each other. Well, that's not true. Grace and the law are not opposed to each other. Grace allows us to live first, and then Yahshua, Jesus, gave us an additional grace whereby we can enter into the Holy of Holies before our Heavenly Father, where we can have our status of being in his kingdom spiritually. That's the grace. But if we forsake that grace and we declare ourselves citizens of the kingdoms of this world and we give our allegiance to them over him by choosing their law, which requires us to break his law, then we've stepped outside of his kingdom. And if you ain't there, you ain't gonna be there forever. That's why it's so important that we cross the border into his kingdom. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And you know, if you want a little more confirmation out of the New Testament, read the parable of the sower. And that's what they do. You know, they have these great evangelistic crusades, and they have thousands and thousands of people in the stadiums. They fill them up, you know, tens of thousands of people. And the great evangelist gets up there, and he preaches a very simple message. And people are moved emotionally. And then people are moved by the singing, and they're moved with emotion. And he says, come down now. Repeat after me and come down. The people come down in droves. And I'll tell you what, of all of those seeds that are sown, the sower went out to sow, and he planted the word in their heart. Most of them will not grow to maturity. They'll be given a promise there. Repeat after me the magic words. You'll be once saved, always saved. The law was nailed to the cross. Don't let, he will never let anyone snatch you out of his hand. He will never leave you or forsake you. And they give you all the comforting words. But most of the people that say the magic words will walk away. Most of them will never enter into the kingdom. And then most of them that consider it, well, a little bit of persecution, the cares of this life, the cares of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the cares of this world will pull them away and snatch the word out of their heart. Yet they'll be going along their merry way with all of the assurances that they were given. False assurances. Sad, but true. Paul gave us the warning. He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the word also says, he that endures till the end shall be saved. Hey, enduring, endurance. Well, doesn't that sound like something that's uncomfortable? You know, if you have to endure something, then it gets you outside your comfort zone a little bit. And if you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that's way outside your comfort zone. I know it's way outside mine. Doing these programs sometimes and going against the societal norms and going against the norm of the corporate church and the corporate ministries out there and what they're preaching and using the Hebrew, the phonetic names of the Messiah and going against the grace law, false dichotomy. These are all uncomfortable things. They go outside my comfort zone. They make people go away from me. How am I going to be popular? How am I going to get a lot of money? You know, if I don't go out and get me a 501c3 and incorporate my ministry with the state, all of those people are going to withhold their tax deductible donations. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It would be so comfortable just to go along, to follow the formulas to popularity. Not within my comfort zone. But what is more important? Who do I fear? Man or God? Who do I obey? Man or Yahuwah? Well, I've made my choice. It's an uncomfortable choice. And it's not getting me rich choice. But, you know, my inheritance, my true inheritance is in Him. This life is short, but forever is a long, long time. And the promises of His redemption, the redemption and resurrection of my mortal flesh to immortality, that's worth it. That's worth all the discomfort. That's my inheritance. That's what I'm looking forward to. And I hope that you'll join me, cross the border into His kingdom, obtain eternal life through Yahushua, His promised Messiah, and by faith look forward to the redemption and the resurrection of your mortal flesh to immortality and all of the promises, the good things that He's promised to those that love Him. They will be yours. Yes, it does take faith. But faith is not ignorance. Faith is not foolishness. Faith is our assurance, because He will show you things in the Spirit that you'll never see in the flesh. He will show you things that mortal eyes cannot behold. And that's why the mortals will say, well, show me the proof. And you'll say, only He can show Himself to you. Take that step of faith. Say, teach me obedience. Repent, and He'll show it to you. But if you don't repent, you'll never see it. It does take faith, and the Scripture declares, truly, the just shall walk by faith. Well, we're going to finish this today, and we've got just enough time to finish this last chapter. So, and this is going back to the chief of the fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh. They had these daughters who inherited. And here's the rule. If they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then their inheritance shall be taken from the inheritance and shall be go back to the tribe whereunto they were taken from. Okay, and when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received, so shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And this is their complaint. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, according to the word of Yahuwah, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph has said well. This is the thing which Yahuwah doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. If they don't marry in the tribe of their father, and they marry outside of the tribe of their father, then their inheritance goes back to the tribe of their father. That's the whole idea. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel move from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his father. Neither shall the inheritance remove from tribe from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance, even as Yahuwah commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad, and Mahlah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's son. So they married in their own tribe. So basically they married cousins. And they were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their fathers. And once they married, then that inheritance went, and now the father was over that inheritance. So no one was disinherited, and a woman who lost her head would not lose her land. And I mean the head of her family, or her covering. These are the commandments and judgments which Yahuwah commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. And thus we are finished with the book of Numbers. And certainly hope you've enjoyed that. I don't know whether Spirit is going to lead us next. All I can say is stay tuned and find out what book we go to next. We may just continue on here and go from Numbers to Deuteronomy. I feel like that perhaps may be the leading. However, I may take a day to cover a topic or something. So I covet your prayers for me, that His Holy Spirit be with me as I go through the Word, that you may be edified, that we all may be edified, and that I can leave this treasure for my children and your children and whoever may stumble upon the archives of these audio Bible studies. Well, I don't know what more I can say except to plead with you and to beg you to please, please enter into the kingdom of God. Cross the border into His kingdom. Obtain eternal life. There's absolutely nothing more important than that you enter into His kingdom. By faith, choose a life of obedience because you love Him. And why should you love Him? Well, one, because He commands it. He said the greatest commandment, love God, love Yahuwah. Love Yahuwah, your God, with all your heart, with everything. And then love your neighbors yourself. On these two, hang the law and the testimony, the law and the prophets. Meaning that these two, to love Him and to love your neighbors yourself, was the very reason that He gave us the law. So if we want to learn how to love Him and how to love our neighbors ourselves, then we turn to His Word, to the law and to the prophets, and that is what we learn. And if that is not what we're learning, how to love Him and how to love our neighbors ourselves, then we need to reconsider whoever is teaching us. That is the object. When He said, on these two, hang the law and the prophets, that's what He was talking about. And He also said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And another saying He said, not everyone who calls Me Lord shall enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of My Father who is in heaven. And I'm going to leave you with that. Thus we end our study in the book of Numbers. I'll see you next time on Cross the Border.